Force sensitive viewer.
Quiet on the set. Can we please have quiet on the set?
You spend time with your family?
Sure I do.
Good. Because a man that doesn't spend time with his family can never be a real man.
You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay. There is a point beyond which they must not advance. Winston Churchill said the destiny of man is not measured by material computations. When great forces are on the move in the world, we learn we're spirits, not animals. He said there's something going on in time and space and beyond time and space, which, whether we like it or not, spells duty. You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
Good evening, good afternoon, or good morning, depending where and when you're listening to this episode of EBN Special Report. This, of course, is me, Rocky Stucci. And as you heard at the beginning of this episode, I threw in a little clip of our late President Ronald Reagan. And boy, there's many days I wish we can have somebody like that back in the seat, somebody who truly would take the role of a leadership of a country that seems to be broken, not from the outside, but as well as the inside. And you guys have heard me talk about this on many a shows. And just a quick little heads up, folks, if you do go to ebntalkradio.net.com, whatever one you choose, all the past shows are available on podcasts. You can go through iTunes. There's four different podcast sites that you can listen to this site. We want to try to make it as convenient as possible for your listening pleasure. Just kind of leading into our show, tonight is a special episode. We added the program here this week because we wanted to bring somebody back to the show who's been a guest here at EBN Special Report. And leading into introducing our guest to the show, a lot of you have listened to the show that I had on last week with Rebecca Roth. And she wrote a book revolving 9/11. I'm not going to get into the whole 9/11 deal, but there was a lot of things within her research, talking about specific organizations and individuals throughout the world with big corporations, big money, big banks. And it really made me step back and think about what is really happening within this world. And now we're looking at situations like Syria and China and Russia. We're looking at this mass migration of immigrants that are 80% male and young, that are now infested throughout the world. And I did say infested because I'm not fooled about what's happening throughout the world. And just today, folks, I received a video in regards to 22, if not more, radical Islamic camps right here in our own country. Very isolated and very protected. And this is a concern to me. This is a concern to my family. This is the concern to the future of this country. And it's so important as we speak to become more patriotic now than we ever have in the existence of this country. And when I talk about patriotism, I refer to somebody who is my guest tonight. Somebody I highly respect, I admire, a leader within this movement. His name is Mr. Alan Lardieri, and he is on the air right now. So we'd like to welcome Alan Lardieri to EBN Special Report. Brother Alan, how are you, sir?
Hey, pretty good, man. How you doing? And thanks for having me again, of course.
It's an absolute pleasure. I will say that I've been watching you, been watching your messages, your videos. You have been very busy, very diligent in your cause. You've been a great leader in the movement, and my hat's off to you. and as well as my listeners. We highly respect what you're doing, what you represent, and we are on board with you, brother.
Thank you. I appreciate every one of you. I really do.
Absolutely. So now, a lot of things have been happening. So let's go back a little bit here.
Sure.
And let's just start, before we get into the deep topics here, you just had a summit down south.
Yes.
So why don't you tell us what the summit was about, what you did, how it went, and bring us up to speed.
Okay. Well, what we did was we had one of the few Oath Keeper summits that's already happened here within the United States, which they're planning on doing one in every state. But even though it has the title of, you know, Oath Keeper Summit, we picked things up, made a little bit different. The steward didn't want to just make it exclusive to just Oath Keepers. This is anybody, any like-minded individual was welcome, who it doesn't matter what your tag is. And the first thing we said when we got up there on stage is we made that absolutely clear. You know, well, of course, after we did a tribute to the Chattanooga service members that were killed in a terrorist attack, and then right after that, we got down to business, and the first thing we wanted to make it absolutely clear was patriots, 3%ers, militia men, militia women, Oath Keepers, whatever you call yourself, hey, we're just all patriots today. And that's the first thing we did when we started this three-day event, is to just get rid of the tags, because tags create separation, and what we are trying to reinforce here is nothing but absolutely unity. Unity. We all believe in the same stuff. I mean, there may be some little things that separate us, and we don't want to let a name or a title or a tag be one of these little things that just create division. We don't want to be divisive. But we got together. It was great. We had a mixture of people that a few years ago you wouldn't have. And that just goes to what's going on in America right now. People are feeling uneasy. They're unsure. And there's people that are approaching us or who are becoming patriots that otherwise a few years ago wouldn't be. Because, you know, things like this happen for one reason. They always happen out of necessity. And people were just drawn to this event. It was really successful. We had a lot of different types of people. Like I said, vendors. It was just like a carnival-like atmosphere for 3 days on top of a mountain in West Virginia. You know, generators running the whole time. Bands. We had a couple bands. It was really neat. It was good to see that, you know, we're not alone. And it was just amazing because, like I said, you have groups that normally don't make contact with each other, and now we have lasting contacts with each other. The one thing we made sure is everybody got together, they shared information, and from what I know, people are still maintaining these ties, and they're only getting bigger and stronger. And now people are already wanting to do it again. Basically, so that's a great thing.
So now, do you have things in the works? What's your next event that you have coming up?
Well, okay, you know, just far as for general interest type things we got coming up is, I'm trying to push this change. You know, militia, we call it the M word,
right.
Mike, M word, because when you say that, I mean, come on, people who are otherwise, you know, uninitiated with militia or people in this movement, what happens when you hear the word, right? What do you see? You see people have this instant knee-jerk reaction, right? They act all funny. They look all cod. They get this freaking Steve CNN 1990s picture in their head of what militia is. And then when you show them and tell them, and I put out a little informational video on that, because we went out the other weekend and we trained with seven different militia groups, seven of them. We flew the helicopter down there. We did some air insertions, taught them safety around the aircraft and everything like that. And I'll tell you what I saw. I saw families barbecuing. I saw people taking – these ain't the people hiding their faces or anything like that. These people are open. They're articulate. They're well-spoken. They come from all different walks of life. And it was just – it's something that I really am trying to take a personal interest in and a mission to educate America. Well, the militia is not this evil, horrible thing.
Well, let me add on this, because we're talking about that, because I was going to bring up the video that you made in regards to the M word, the militia.
Yes.
And you know, me and some of my associates up here in the Twin Cities, we've been watching from the sideline of this entire movement in its entirety, not just one specific group, but in its entirety, because it is crucial. Like I said at the show opener, we have 22 plus radical camps in this country, and they're teaching hatred, and they're teaching these radicals how to kill. And if anybody does any research of what the hell is going on in the Middle East, they want this country annihilated. And I just, for one, before I even get into it, I can't even believe that this is allowed to happen. But,
well, that's exactly the thing. You said it. It's allowed to happen. It's not supposed to happen, but it is allowed, meaning somebody in some authority position is enabling and allowing this to happen.
Right. And that's it, too. You know, so one day it's an ideology and the next day it's a religion. And it seems to be when it comes to a training camp, it's a religious movement. And of course, you know, people come into this country illegally and they use the religious card as a way to manipulate around the system. And that is about burn me for the last time. I about had it with that.
Yes.
But and so when we talk about the militia and we talk about the M word, This is some of the observations that some of the people are having, and it has nothing to do with the Oath Keepers, has nothing to do with you or your movement or a lot of people you're affiliated with. But you said the key word when you were just speaking about people posting these videos with masks on, and you know, this is such an important time to be a patriot, and we're proud to be American. We love the red, white, and blue. We honor those who have sacrificed everything to give us what we have. But what's happening is these ones that are kind of misleading the movement seem to be coming front and center and getting the attention, and it's giving the general public the wrong perception of what is really happening within the patriotic movement, with the Oath Keepers, with us having to unite, and it's creating these little wars that we're watching, these little arguments. And I said this to you before, brother. I said this to you on the last show. Sometimes the best leaders are the ones who choose not to want it. And you have stayed consistent. You have stuck to the cause. You are representing well. You are training. You are educating. That's a leader, brother. And I'm going to stick with what I said last time. You are a true leader, and you are what this movement needs. And I observe from the sideline these other groups that are just, it's drama every day. So what kind of interpretation are we giving the general public when they see these games being played, when we need to be one unit together now more than ever in any time in our history? And what's your thoughts on everything that is happening right now?
Well, my thoughts are basically this. You know, when even with something such great importance, where you're supposed to place the cause above yourself, you're going to have your alpha male mentalities, okay? And that can damage something from the inside. That creates this whole, what I call an endo-cannibalistic approach to things, which means we literally consume our own. We consume ourselves. And trust me, there's a lot of people that love watching that happen. But being short of that, another the issue that we're having is you do have people, and like you said, there's people that represent this movement. This is why I tell everybody, you have to get out and you have to speak. Okay, you have to, because somebody's going to speak for you. And when people fit that crazy, preconceived, stereotypical CNN news idea of what the Patriot Movement, Militia Movement, whatever you want to call it, we just call it Patriot Movement just to be, you know, all as a blanket tag, the media's drawn to it. And there's some things you just don't see in the media. I'm very transparent. I'm about as transparent as glass. I try to be. And there's a few people within my state that have said these awful things. They had conference calls. I'm referencing the Tom Deacon incident. I'm sure a lot of your listeners know the name.
Yeah, let's go over that a little bit.
Sure, let's do it. This individual, of course, he had several conference calls. And a lot, look, and I'll tell you, a lot of stuff, the guy has a brilliant legal mind, you can tell. Here's where you lose me. Of course, I'm all for the whole organic constitution, to a certain extent. I am for bringing the representation back to the people. Guys, you'll never find anybody more, no one that's wanting that to happen more than myself. But here's where you lose my support. Now, he had several conference calls to where he was trying to gain support, okay? And there's a few things I didn't like. He also went on a friend of mine's show, Jones Sworn's show, and a sworn American sheepdogs. And this guy just let it all out. He said a few things, and you're not. It doesn't take much to lose me, okay? When you reference the Constitution as not being legal in its entirety the way it currently is, you're going to lose me. When you say that you have given up your American citizenship, you lose me. I view you as an illegal alien, essentially. That's the only thing I needed to know to disassociate from this individual. But here's the thing that got me. What he planned on doing. He planned on storming the Capitol, my Capitol, arresting politicians, and, you know, a lot of them, which I probably don't personally support. Many of them I don't. His approach was wrong. He wanted to arrest these individuals. He wanted to put them on trial and execute them. He wanted to, this would involve killing police officers. And it doesn't take long, especially in my home state. I got eyes everywhere, literally everywhere, and I'm getting calls, panicky calls from people about this guy wanting them to join him. He was approaching my friends in the militia, and I made one video where I was trying to be kind of kind to deter any aggression, and then it just kept getting worse. He kept having people either contact myself or contact people that I know, and is this a censored show? You still there?
Yeah, I'm here, brother. I'm here.
I was just wondering if your show is censored to an extent.
Go for it, brother. Absolutely go for it.
Well, I'm just going to give you the exact quote, because this is not something I try to do all the time as be profane or anything like that. I just felt that it was necessary because nobody seems to listen or identify with it. And I call it my motherfucker video. Just pure and simple because of the, you know, excessive use of that word, but it just basically said in the video, I feel that I am representative of the individuals around me. I just got done meeting with 7 militia groups a few days earlier. Actually, the day before I made this video, we talked about this man, this issue, this movement that he had going on. Everybody agreed. Anybody with a level head would agree. So I said in the video, essentially, I said, dude, you're about to bring the motherfucker out of me. You're wanting to come into my state. You're wanting to bring people into my state to attack my state. And I basically warned him. I said, if you try this in my state, I will personally come for you. And you would wish the cops were there. Just like that. You know, we are part of what we people can call militia. We care about our communities. We are not here to destroy anything. We are here to preserve everything. And this guy basically was wanting to kill people at will. He was wanting to murder police officers, murder elected persons. And now I had enough at this point. I wanted to make it absolutely clear. This gentleman wanted violence. He would certainly get it. Because this is senseless. We don't need this. And it's for several reasons. One, it's wrong. Second, this is what's going to cause things to ruin for everybody. People are going to associate me, even though I've been so one-sided, out in the open, against this kind of garbage, that it's not even funny. This interview here is a very small indication of how deep I've took this. But no matter what, this guy is speaking for you. He's not speaking for you. But people that otherwise don't know, these are the people that they listen to. These are people who say, oh, man, they're all this way. You're going to get generalized. You're going to get pigeonholed. And everybody's going to think you're like this guy. But that's not the case. The militia groups that I have met with, and these people are open. They do on-camera interviews. They talk. And they do it well. They know themselves. They know the law. And they're very patriotic people. They're not criminals. Because trust me, we definitely self-regulate very, very well. Everybody that comes in and around us is looked at. And this guy was looked at, and he did not check out.
Right, and you know, what people really need to hold account here is the fact that if you go back and look at the recent events that just happened in Ferguson, two months ago,
yes.
And you had some Oath Keepers that showed up in Ferguson to help protect businesses, help protect families, help protect the innocent. And I need people to understand how the media, especially the mainstream media, they're there to twist this in a way to make it look like we are problem starters, that we because we carry guns or we support the Constitution. So when you have people like this cockroach, this Deegan guy, who comes forward and starts flapping his jaws like he was, it's the media that's going to take people like him, and they're going to bring him front and center, and they're going to publish and air stories on the radical patriot who came forward and said he wants to kill cops, or he wants to do this, or he wants to...
And we're going to use the N-word. And I'm going to tell you this. This guy did not belong to any militia, okay? If he did, he would have his own to go do his dirty work with. He wouldn't try to involve the decent people. Because, let me tell you, when you do try to involve the decent people, when I go down to self-regulation, when I talk about that, trust me, word gets out quick. And it doesn't... It will not end for you well if you try to do anything in this state that doesn't fit in to what we believe is constitutional or right. We know that killing people is wrong. Right. Just indiscriminate killing, of course. And it's just, it will not end for you. I'm just, this is a warning to anyone, okay? It's a warning to anyone. And that, it ain't just me. Hey, if something happened to me, guaranteed there's a hell of a lot more where I came from. They're decent people. The real militia is nothing but full of decent people. And I'm telling you, if you're looking for a militia and you got the ones that are hiding their face and doing this and that, hey, that's the one to avoid, okay? Right. They don't go on camera. If they wear a mask and all that garbage, you know, unless they're on a specific mission, unless there is a mission protective posture where your anonymity is required, such as working on the southern border or something along that line, so I can understand that. But if you're just sitting there making a YouTube video or a Facebook video, you're covering your face and this, and you're not wanting to be seen, okay, that's your red flag, okay? We got nothing to hide. And here's the one thing. This movement needs faces, and it needs voices. It doesn't need people hiding their face, scaring the hell out of families and children. No, that's not what we're here for. We're here for our families and children. We're here to preserve that.
And we were talking about this because, you know, we were talking about the majority of the protesters, whether it be in Baltimore or Ferguson, wherever protests may be, it seems to be they're popping up in every city now. Is that when you have some of these people that come forward and represent as a specific militia, but yet they're willing to go out and pretty much just shoot shit up and start destroying things, they are no better than the people that are rioting in all these cities throughout the country. They are not representing what the cause represents, and that's a part of
that. I've always said that, because here's the thing. That's not a movement. That is a riot. When you go around, you're doing violence, indiscriminate violence. Mm-hmm. It's not a movement. It's freaking terrorism. That's all it is.
So what happened now with the... What has perspired? What has happened? Has there been any follow-up? Have you heard anything about this Deegan guy or anybody else that's affiliated with him?
He was arrested, and all those that was affiliated with and that was in contact with me, all their all of our communications have been deleted. It wasn't because of me. Anybody that was communicating with me was not necessarily saying anything illegal. They were just trying to back him. They didn't, on any of my communications with them, they never said anything about violent intentions or anything like that. That was all pretty much exclusively him and his inner circle. I never communicated directly with him. If I did, it probably got even uglier quicker. I'd have probably found a way to find him myself. You know, it's pure and simple. I'm not having, for one thing, I'm not going to have nobody misrepresent me or our movement, one. Two, I'm not going to have nobody killed for no reason at all. It's just not going to happen. If I have anything to do with it, you know, even West Virginia state law is for that. You'd be using lethal force if somebody's using lethal force on someone else. Life, limb, or eyesight. And that's what I'll go by. I'm not going to have people die for crazy people. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to have this that we call the tinfoil hat people. I'm not going to have these people terrorized. It's not how it works. I'm telling you, I don't agree with what's going on in D.C. I don't agree with what's going on within the confines of my own state as far as that's concerned in government. But there are so many more things we can do. And, yeah, I'll say, I don't think voting is going to fix this. But, no, there's a lot more that you could do before you have to pick up a rifle. You have to know this. You have to have the presence of mind and the brakes in your head to be applied and know this. You have to know that there's more courses of action to be taken. And just, and you know, when the first real step is to just be visual and be vocal, because guess what? People are going to see that and they're like, hey, wait a minute, these guys aren't hiding. They're being wide out in the open. They must be legitimate, because it's exactly what we are. We're legitimate. And we will be heard. You don't have to go off and start terrorizing people to get your point across. There's a lot more things we can do.
And that was scary, too, because you said be vocal. And something that I've been witnessing is that so many people, they have the same heart as you and I, but they're afraid to speak because you have these liberals or you have these people who just pretend that everything is fine, that we are under no threat, that things are going to be okay. But, you know, once you stick your head in that rabbit hole, and this is not paranoia talking, these are real life facts of things that are really happening. People need to speak their minds and not be afraid of the other people that are going to counter what they speak about, because everybody has the right to speak.
I can give them this personal assurance right now. One, I could tell you that there are people speaking now. Remember I said how many all these people met that otherwise never would have met 5 years ago? Well, there's people speaking more now that otherwise would not have spoken 5 years ago as well. And I'm going to tell them this other thing. Two is the more that you speak, the more you get involved, the easier it's going to be. You're going to become a better debater. You can be able to engage these liberals, and you're going to be able to shatter their little, you know, utopian society that they think or try to convince you that they think is going on. You're going to get better at it, and then you're going to see more people doing it with you, and it's going to become a movement. It's going to become a revolution without bullets.
Right.
It's happening. I know this is happening. I'm just trying to get more people to get on board. Not to say necessarily before it's too late, but this is something that has to be done. This is, again, like I said, why are people turning to the militia now? What's out of necessity? The militia has always been there.
Right.
And it's the only thing that's already in place, been in place, to handle these types of situations.
So let me ask you, Alan, when is it too late? I mean, when exactly is the point of no return?
There are several different answers for that. The point of no return is you be lawful until there is no law. You know what I? You understand what I mean? Yeah. The point of no return is, and for me, I have standing orders with myself that I'm personally going to observe, and if people do that with me, that's fine. The only time you're going to get me to be anywhere close to being on the offensive is if you declare illegal martial law. That's your red flag. I'm going to war. I've never been secretive about that. That's just how it is. Two, if I see blue helmets on my shores or on my land, basically in my country, if I see United Nations troops, that's going to trigger. I will go on the offensive. It's just that simple. And, you know, these people that are talking about flying off the handle, here's another thing. I want to bring them down to earth right now. And if any of y'all are listening here, let me go ahead and just throw this out here to you. You keep saying you're going to want to take over this, take over that. Well, I've been around and I've looked around, not only from a military perspective, but I've seen a lot of things and I've seen a lot of people. I'm going to tell you right now, you are nowhere, and this is pretty much applies to anybody. You're not ready. You are not prepared. People always ask me, what's the next thing to do? I'm going to tell you the next thing to do. You need to get with people and you need to start getting organized. It doesn't necessarily have to be through the Oath Keepers, but they do have a plan in place, the CPT program, and that's something, you know, they can look up. But you're not ready. The crazy tinfoil hat people, you're definitely not fucking ready. You think you're ready to wage fucking warfare, you have lost your damn mind. You're not. I've seen what most of y'all do. You're not ready. You don't have the background most of the time anyway that's supportive of any kind of operation like that. You're just running off raw emotion. And we all know what raw emotion is. It's just terrorism. I mean, think about it. The professional soldier does not act the way that a terrorist does on the battlefield. The terrorist screams and yells and blows his rounds away and goes off raw emotion. The professional falls back on his highest level of training, implements that, destroys the enemy's will to fight. Pure and simple. And I don't believe a lot of these crazies are ready for that. Yeah, sure, you can go out, you can shoot me while I'm going to my car. Okay, who can't, right? We're talking about sustained combat. They're not ready. They can't do it. So, whatever. Get yourself lined up. But that also applies to, you know, the nice, good, lawful people. You need to get prepared. You need to get with groups. You need to, and it ain't necessarily military training. There's a lot of things play into this. But I'm just telling people, get ready.
Right, right. You know, and I tell some of these fellow hosts, you know, that they discuss these topics all the time, and they discuss patriotism. But then when things escalate a little bit, these people kind of disappear into the woodworks. But Alan, I need you to hold this thought. We need to go to a quick commercial break. Folks, I am on the line right now with Alan Lardieri. We are covering a lot of things from Oath Keepers to the patriotic movement to the militia. So stick around, folks. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes. Stand by.
For the thousands of wounded warriors returning from battle, Wounded Warrior Project has developed the Warriors to Work program, a career counseling service that helps wounded warriors translate their military experience to a civilian job. These extraordinary men and women bring more than just teamwork and inspiration to the workplace. They bring proven world-class job skills. And to ensure proper placement, Wounded Warrior Project works with employers to find just the right job fit. Talented, skilled, and eager to get back to work, you have the opportunity to hire a seasoned veteran. Contact Wounded Warrior Project at findwwp.org. Welcome home, the brave.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school,
math,
I learned that I'm ugly and useless.
Trash.
And in gym,
in biology,
I learned that I'm pathetic,
that I'm fat,
and a joke.
And stupid.
In history,
today
I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends.
In biology,
in English, I learned that I make people sick.
And stupid.
And in
gym, and at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell.
That I'm a loser.
And in chemistry, I learned that no one
in
likes
biology,
me.
In
chemistry,
I learned that I'm fat and stupid.
In English,
and in math,
that I make
because
people sick.
I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today.
The only thing I didn't learn today.
The only thing I didn't learn
is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Welcome back, EBN Special Report, a very, very special episode. We have our guest, Alan Lardieri, on the line with us as we speak. And we're covering some very hot topics and topics that definitely need to be addressed. Talking about the patriotic movement, the militia. What is the militia? And there's something else that I want to bring to everyone's attention. And I know this is near and dear to Alan. And so, Alan, brother, can you tell us about the Warrior Outdoors?
Sure, yeah, no problem. You know, this is not a secret, but it's, you know, I'd like to start out with this statistic here. You know, on average every 65 minutes, a former serviceman or woman, they take their own life.
Right.
You've heard that.
Yep.
22 a day, guys. 22 soldiers, Marines, airmen, sailors kill themselves. They kill themselves. They go through hell and back and come home, and for multiple reasons, they just feel it necessary that they have to do that. They have to do that permanent solution to a temporary problem. And there's a lot of great organizations out there. We all know of them. There's so many, but there's one little program here that I think is really unique. People may have seen it on TV. It's a show, too. It's not just it's Warrior Outdoors, warrioroutdoors.org. They heal the mind in a different way. They don't use the clinical environment. They're a very religious group as well. That of course, plays into the whole healing as well. But their approach is healing by means through the outdoors, hunting, fishing, outdoors activities, using stepping outside of the hospital. Like I said, the clinical environment, the laboratory. You know, they step, it's totally unconventional. Using nature as a means to heal. is what they're doing here. And I love that approach. I like the outdoors. Anybody that knows me knows that. And I've never heard of this before, this type of approach, and I'm absolutely turned on by it. You know, this is a nonprofit. There's a lot of great things when what they're trying to do is, oh, and like I said, you know, it's a show, too. It's a really neat show. They got some new hosts, really neat people you've seen. Bobby Wiggins contacted me. He's the gentleman that started this. And everything I'm hearing, I absolutely love. But they're running into a little bit of issue right now with funding now. And this is a really unique, and what I'm saying is a business opportunity. I want to appeal to businesses' fiscal sense, we'll say. I want to throw this at them. They're looking for sponsors for the show. And what you get is a very unique opportunity here. I'm not a businessman, but this sure as hell sounds like a very appealing thing to me. Well, it's a nonprofit. If you sponsor a show, and there's different levels of sponsorship, there's different tiers, all of which I can easily get into. I can just pull up the document. But basically, here's what you get, and you tell me if you ever hear anything like this, because you're probably well more initiated with this sort of thing than I am. We're talking sponsorship here, right? Okay, let's say you are a business, we'll say like Cabela's, I'll throw that out there, and you want to sponsor the show. Well, here's what you get when you sponsor this show. If you're in the tier one, you get 2 30-second commercials within this. And not to mention, you have the potential to reach 33 million people with each show. 33 million people are going to potentially see this show. With your product being used in this show, your banner, this was brought to you in part by whomever, you get so much, and you know, of course you're helping out these veterans that greatly need this, but you're getting this, what I said in the video, you said you use the military term, you're getting this ad revenue force multiplier, because all the money, since it's a nonprofit, and I'm pretty sure I'm being accurate, the money that you use in this for the sponsorship is tax deductible. So it's a win-win. And you're helping out soldiers. You're helping out people that helped you out and help this country out. I just don't see anybody failing on this. And not to mention, you're going to be seen by 33 million people. This is in prime time on, I think, Pursuit Channel. Okay. It's a win-win. It's great marketing, from what I can understand. I'm not a marketing genius, but I don't know of many places that you can put for ad revenue that you're going to get a tax write-off. I don't know of that. Is that something that happens a lot in this kind of thing? Rocky, maybe you can help me out on that.
You know, it's not. There's, you know, and this is where it gets upsetting, and I'm humbled that there are groups and organizations and patriots out there that are looking out for the fellow soldier. You know, like you were stating earlier, 22 suicides a day. I'm 22. I mean, there was just a report that just came out on how many veterans died waiting for health care, but yet so many of these people come into this country illegally, and they have better health care than our immigrants. So when it comes to supporting a cause like a veterans organization, giving back to the veterans, even put aside what you get out of it from a business perspective, look at what you represent and giving back to these people. We should never, ever let our veterans stand alone, ever, at any given time. I posted something the other day. It said some people get everything for nothing and some people gave everything and get nothing. And we need to make sure that we support organizations such as the one that Alan's talking about. And we need to make sure that we're diligent on promoting for them and getting the word out for them and sponsoring them any way we possibly can. And it being a tax write-off is just an added bonus. So what is the site, Alan, that people can go to look more into this?
You know, on the personal level, an individual, you can go to warrioroutdoors.org. I'm making sure of that, just to be an absolute on this. You know, and this thing, the guy that's doing this, he doesn't even have a paycheck for himself doing this, okay? Bobby is not making money off of this. It's just all nonprofit. Warrioroutdoors.org.
Warrior Outdoors.
Sorry about that. I didn't know I was going to play music. But yes, it is warrioroutdoors.org.
Yes, it is. And, you know, and sponsorship, actually, it's extremely important. You know, this thing here, you would know more to myself on that, as far as the ins and outs of you know, where are you going to get that max effect with your, you know, your ad dollars? This just looks like that it's, it seems like it's extremely awesome that you can do this, and it's all win-win. The way I'm seeing it, maybe I'm just seeing it through my eyes, but it just seems like such a win-win. And like I said, I can get into the specifics of a tier one of what all that involves, and it's really quick. You know, a tier one single sponsor is, you, for example, see here, it says the Warrior Outdoors was brought to you by whomever that is. Right. You get top billing with a show name. 6 episodes devoted to the sponsor and the company rep, and the company rep can actually be a guest on the show. That's their, if they choose. 2 30-second commercials per episode for the entire season. Weekly embedded advertising. Highlighted at all shows and appearances. Top spot single banner. And, you know, the things are possible from that. But that's just something I can just throw out there real quick because I don't want to waste a whole lot of time. But it just seems like such a win-win, and I like it. I like the approach. I like the show. I like the way they want to heal the mind using the outdoors. It's just something totally different. You know, we're not talking about aromatherapy candles or acupuncture or nothing. This is getting out there, you know. Maybe a redneck soldier probably wouldn't find that too appealing. Or maybe somebody that was in the city has never experienced this sort of thing, you know, growing up here like we do here, being around the woods and getting out and hunting and killing what you eat. Maybe that would be a welcome change for them as well. It's just that I like it because it's a different approach. I like it because a business can really benefit from it too. It's just something I think is a win-win.
I want people to hear this. Is, you know, a lot of people that listen to the show, they know what I've done in the past, the organization called American Patriot Riders. And we started this program, and I have a point to this. We started this program called the Vietnam Vet Welcome Home Program. And basically what we did, and these vets, here's how humbled and proud these Vietnam veterans are. If they knew that somebody was going to do a welcome home ceremony for them, they would have declined it. And, you know, my father was in Vietnam. He got shot a bunch of times, a bunch of shrapnel in his body. He did 2 tours. He was in the 101st Screaming Eagles, then he went to 82nd Airborne. And so we did this for my dad, and I remember the day when I seen my dad pull up with my mom, and we had about 60 people all holding the American flag. We had the VFW there, and we had my dad walk up. I said some words, and we allowed my dad a couple minutes. Now, we're Italian. You know us Italians, brother. We usually, we're not short of words, but but my dad was broken down in tears. And so they're very proud individuals, but they won't come forward and they want nothing. So when you give them something as little as a thank you, or something as let's do something for you in recognition of your service and these disabled vets, and they don't get that anymore. And so when you have programs like this that Alan's talking about, you guys got to understand the importance of the impact that you're having on these people that they're helping. There's the impact is tremendous. When we've done numerous of these welcome homes, and to see these Vietnam vets after how many years after Vietnam completely fall to their knees just in gratitude is beyond any recognition in the world and any payback in the world. I mean, there's nothing worth of value that's physical or monetary that can substitute that. Just the emotion alone is something that you never forget for the rest of your life, and it changes the way you look at things, and I'm not a vet, and so this is the way that I give back. So when we talk about these programs, folks, I ask you to please support these programs, become a sponsor, support our veterans, be patriotic, love this country, and don't tolerate nothing less. We need to keep the morals in which this country was established. So I will put this link on the website. I'll put it on the network website, ipbn-fm.com. I'll also put it on ebntalkradio.com and .net and any other available sites that I have, as well as talk to a couple of my friends within corporate USA and see what we can do to help support you guys.
At the WA, you just get them in contact with me, and I'll get them in contact with the right people. Roger. I'll get them in contact with Bobby personally.
So now let me ask you something. Now, you know, you're doing You did the summit, and I see you. Yeah. You got something going almost every weekend. You're staying very busy. Do you travel?
No, sir, I do not. I'm not willing to not do it. It's just, where, you know, I still have to have a regular job.
Right.
I don't really get to do much of anything, and there's just so much that needs to be done, but I really feel tired. But, you know, you have to work, you have to eat, so
right.
it limits a lot of things. It limits, you know, things I can do in this movement. It also definitely limits travel, which that's kind of required. You need to get out and meet people and everything. And it's, guys, anybody listening to this, man, it certainly ain't for willing not wanting to. I just can't.
Because we have talked behind some closed doors about having somebody such as yourself come up and hold a summit up here in the Twin Cities area, and I think you'd be a great man for that job. That'd be something for you to consider. It's to go around and hold these summits and to educate people correctly and talk to them about the militia and talk to them about being aware and signs and what to look for and how to protect yourselves, your homes, your families. What to do in certain situations. And I know that the Oath Keepers, they're a humongous organization. But again, I look at you as my personal main source of contact. And, you know, something maybe you want to consider in the future, maybe in the spring we could fly up here and have you hold a little summit here next year and rally the troops, if you say.
I would love to. I'm trying my best to get in a position where I can. That'd be a dream of mine, to travel around and do these and get it, because, you know, hey, you learn something every time you do it. And there's a lot of things, and I'm promoting another summit that's going on in Texas here this weekend. You know, it has nothing to do with the Oath Keepers. I'm like, I don't care what the tag is. You know, the whole spirit of the Oath Keepers thing is not have tags. And so I will support anybody, as long as they're lawful, as long as they're constitutional, I'll support them. But yeah, it'd be a dream of mine to be able to go out and do this, because I made a lot of mistakes on the first one, so I learned a lot. I know what not to do next time. I know to make sure you put road guards on your signs, because the locals will sometimes steal your signs. It's, you know, little things like that. There's just a lot of things that I've learned from this summit that I can improve upon, and to make in the streamline and make everything a very memorable learning experience. And even though it was. You know, there's always room for improvement. I'm never going to accept nothing but perfection, and that's all these people deserve. They deserve nothing but somebody that is going to be there and try to do everything to absolute perfection. Even though it can't be achieved, the pursuit of it is not a waste of time either.
You just called it on the head right there. It's something that you consistently strive for, not knowing that it'll ever be achieved, but to never give up on the achievement. And that's very key that you said that. So, you know, I don't mean to twist the subject here, and I want to make sure that if there's anything that you wanted to talk about before we close, we're coming close to the end of the hour. I do have a question for you, though.
Sure.
What are your thoughts? You know, we talked about this a little bit at the beginning of the show, of these camps that are, they seem to be a growing trend within the United States. What are your personal thoughts on these camps, and how do we stop them?
Well, first and foremost, you know, I've personally had some supposed camps checked out, and they turn out to not be. But on the other end of this, it is too numerous to not be true to a certain extent. I know that they are going on, because the ones that were around supposedly my area that I had checked out were clean and fine. Like I said, we got eyes everywhere. You just don't know how many eyes we have. People that are concerned sometimes don't show their face, but they do lend their assistance. You got their clandestine support. But I do know of some stuff in the southern state that is confirmed and that they're going there. Now, to combat these off the bat, it comes down to very good intelligence, okay? And that's something that was covered fairly well by Sam Culper at our summit. This guy, you know, United States Army Intelligence, and he gave some very good stuff. He wrote a nice little book, too. It's extremely handy. The way I feel these have to be combated is, first, with extremely good intelligence. You have to build an intelligence network. You have to have a professional intelligence network. That way you can see what's going on. You need to see, okay, what degree are these guys a threat? What is their motivation? What is everything about them. Now, as far as, now, most time people just want to go straight to a military-style response. The thing is, it's about intelligence. You don't just jump into things. You cannot go off raw emotion. You can't go off directionless fury. You have to have a course of action. Sometimes you don't have a luxury of time to develop that, but, you know, that goes into your mentee and just how you're going to do everything. Like I said, basically what I could tell you on this is you got to find people in an intelligence network. You have to. That's how you're going to get a hold of this. Another way of combating this is once you've gathered this intel and you know something's going on, get out there, have a coalition, and start, if you can. Now, this is all case-by-case scenario. Start, if you can, with an information campaign. Hey, we know you're there. Right. We know what you're doing is wrong, and you got to start approaching. You have to involve your law enforcement until you can't involve them no more is what I'm telling you. You have to exhaust all legal avenues that you can until there is none left. But I'll say this to you. You cannot also sit there and waste your time and be killed or let somebody get killed. If you have to act to save lives, then that's just how it is. I will make no apologies for that. If I know that something is imminent, just like I said from the initial video, I will act. There's just no way around it. I'll involve all the agencies that I possibly can. If I can't get satisfaction and I know people are going to die, hey, my life means nothing if I can preserve more lives. It means nothing.
Right, right. And a week from this weekend, we have October 9th and October 10th with the big march heading to D.C., and I think this is what's caused a lot of the hype within the militia community is the whole Farrakhan deal and the Million Man March. And what are your thoughts on that?
Well, the thing is, the militia groups that I've been dealing with, that's not been an extremely big part of our conversation, honestly.
Good.
It isn't. We have other things to worry about, honestly. We are worrying about continuing our training, continuing organizational skills, continuing our communication with each other. You're going to be so busy with that. Okay, and I'll give you an example. Okay, why is Alan not in D.C.? Well, I'll tell you why Alan's not in D.C. We have a big event here going on, Trailfest in Gilbert, West Virginia, same place we held the summit. We developed some very good ties with the community there. And we, the Oathkeepers and militia, we're going there to help them out. We're going to go there and whatever they need us to do. If they need us to, go post guard somewhere, and just not, I'm talking about like old rifles and fatigues or anything. I'm talking about guys in regular clothes with radios. We're going to go do community service. This is the side of militia you don't see, okay? This is the side that the world, being a liberal, don't want you to see. Yeah,
right.
You got militiamen in regular old clothes, good old nice people, who are going to have to do community service, okay, for free. That's what militia is going to be doing somewhat to a certain extent this weekend, or next weekend, excuse me. So, yeah, I got community service to take care of. I don't have time to go to the march. I'd like to go to the march, but that's why it's not a big conversation with militia right now. We got other things, we got our communities to be concerned with. You can't just jump to D.C. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm bashing anybody that's going there. If they can, they can, but people have more pressing issues at home. We're going to address those. That's what we're doing. We're preparing our communities. We're taking care of our communities. That's how you fix D.C. You got to fix everything down here. You know, you can't build this movement on a wobbly foundation. Your foundation's your community, and you gotta go from there. You got to get it squared away first before you move on. But, again, like I said, there's some great guys going to D.C.
Sure.
I just got so many problems here, I can't. I would love to go, but I can't.
The whole D.C. thing, it made me nervous from the get-go because, when you've been around the block a few times, you tend to sniff out the mousetraps from a mile away. And I've always looked at this whole October 9th and 10th weekend as a big mousetrap for a bigger agenda. And I really hope that people are safe, and I hope that the people that want to be aggressive think and act very smart. I hope it turns out well in the movement and doesn't put a roadblock on any of the good and greater causes that are happening throughout the entire nation.
Well, you got some really good guys going up there. You do.
Yep.
You really do. I know a few of them. Talked to a few of them. You got them. They're going up there, and they're really good people. But yeah, you're right. You know, you are in D.C. by the way, too. You know, I'm not overly thrilled about going there, but that's not the reason for me not going. Of course, like I said, you know, I feel that there's I'm needed more here. You know, my community needs me, and you know, we're gonna rise to that. You know, we're gonna make our community strong. But again, you know, like I said, you got your big bad so-called militia out doing community service. How about that?
And that's what it's about. And see, that's what people need to hear. That's what it's
about.
Well,
they're not going to just hear it. They're going to see it because I'm going to make the inboard part two from this.
Well, you let me know what you need. Now, we're coming out of time, but is there anything, sure. Alan, is there any sites, is there anything else that I didn't cover with you that you wanted to bring front and center?
No, sir. Nothing comes to mind. Just, you know, the education with the militia is important to me. The summit we had, many more come, and I'll be more than happy to get involved with anybody if I possibly can. You know, my wife's sitting right here beside me. She probably don't like to hear it, but yeah, duty calls. I would love to be there for anybody to move this along. If my worthless carcass being there promotes anything in some way, then I'll dedicate it gladly. But, you know, just, yeah, it's pretty much, and of course, you know, again, with Warrior Outdoors, I like that a lot. I'm really excited to be talking to Bobby about this thing. I'm crazy in love with the concept. I really am. And check out the show. Heck, there's a few shows that's already aired. I mean, you can go on the website and find all that stuff. Check out the shows. It'll touch your heart. It really will.
So, folks, if you want, you know, go on to Facebook and look up Adam Lardieri. If he's maxed out on friend requests, you can still follow him, and he does post videos. So follow the video, share those videos, help promote his work. And what he was just talking about with the Warrior Outdoors, I had a little brain collapse there. I don't know what just happened. You just go to warrioroutdoors.org, and if you give me about 24 hours, I will have all this information. I'll have Adam or Alan, I'll have his information up on my webpage. I will have the Warrior Outdoors link on the webpage, Oath Keepers information up on the webpage, and all contact information and sponsorship information on the webpage. Alan, brother, seriously. It's a great honor to have you back on the show, and I'm very humbled to have you on. Thank you so much for being here.
Anytime, man. I love your show. Anytime, hey, I don't care if you want me to do it. Anytime you want, man, just get on. I always got something to do. Like you said, Italians always like to talk, so there it is.
Well, you do it, and I'm sincere about it, and you'll have an open platform here. We make the time. It's my network. I own it, so I can put us in any slot we choose to be in, brother. So you always have an open door invitation. If you know anybody else that has a great, powerful message or representing a great cause, send them my way. And, you know, as Alan was talking about earlier about the veterans and 22-plus veterans dying a day, and we know and understand the sacrifices that veterans are willing to make and give and have given throughout the existence of this country, I found it fitting to change my closing song. So I'm going to change it up a little bit tonight. So in honor to all the veterans, all those currently serving, all those that never made it home, all of our Vietnam veterans that never got the rightful welcome home, and all the families of the veterans, this one is for you. Thank you for listening, folks. Good night.